Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints happy cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody. Well, welcome into another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. This one's free courtesy of BetUS and Manscaped, but you should subscribe to this podcast and become a patron so you can get it every single day. We are the best daily Saints podcast on earth. Andrew, this week, number four in Malta. So, just want to say. We are super excited to be joined by Larry Dwyer. He is the host of Bears Talk Underground. They are the Bears podcast for the Armchair Media Network, which our ad guy, Andrew's the best. So, Larry, thanks for joining us today. It's Saints-Bears in the playoffs. And I wanted to start here. Bears fans, you've been to the playoffs two of the last 3 years, and you're still talking about firing Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy into the sun. Where are Bears fans' mood right now heading into this playoff game?
Well, you know, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on the show. Anytime you can be on the number four podcast in Malta, you got to do it.
That's right.
You're looking to expand your Maltese audience.
I am. You know, it's, you can never, you know, cancel out any market. So any Maltins or Maltesians or whatever the word is, want to join and hang out with the Bear Talk Underground from time to time, you know, I'm here. But to answer your question, guys, Bear fans are all over the place right now. We were all in unison about 4 weeks ago when we lost to the Lions. That was the sixth out of our six game losing streak. We had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, and we pissed it all away for the Bears to lose a game they had no business losing. So that Monday, everybody was fired. Pace is gone. Nagy's out of here. Ted Phillips can pack, you know, the president of the organization, pack up his stuff and he's out. And then we're on a three-game winning streak going into that Packer game, and that's where you start to see things teeter. Some of them are still on the fire them no matter what because we're not making the playoffs. Even if we make the playoffs, are these the guys you want running the organization? Again, you know, we're still mediocre. We're not making progress, blah, blah, blah. So it depends on who you talk to as to where, you know, that particular Bear fan leans on the future of the team.
Yeah, it's so interesting. High level, Larry, I just want to ask, just before we kind of delve into specifics, just general mindset question. Mm-hmm. Fan base confidence level, your personal confidence level going into this game.
Well, it's not great. You know, I would say maybe 50-55%, and that's based solely on how we played you guys the first time around. And that, in my opinion, we should have won the game because Drew Brees threw two interceptions that we didn't catch in the overtime period. You know, we should have taken one. We should have taken at least one of them back, or you know, or something, put us in a position to kick the game-winning field goal or something. I think we should have won the first time around. Now, granted, that was in Soldier Field. That was 8 weeks ago. It was a completely different team coming to town. And completely different in the fact that the defense has been awful the last 6 weeks, and we actually are bringing in offense with us this time. So I don't know what to expect. And like I said, my confidence level is based on how tough we played you guys the first time around, not so much on how we've been playing lately.
You know, and that was interesting. I kind of agree with you, Larry, in that, like, I rewatched the game yesterday, and I felt like early in the game, y'all had a lot of opportunities where you scored the touchdown. You hit the long run. Nick Foles hit the big pass. You only got 13 points where, like, you guys' offense, it's such a struggle that, like, when you hit your – when you get these big plays, it's like kind of like manna from heaven, right? It's like you might not be – but you got to cash this ticket in. And I felt like Foles gave you a dimension throwing the ball down the field where, like, at the time, the Saints secondary was kind of a mess. They were blowing coverages. They were having penalties. And Andrew can vouch for me. In that game, we were just like, when's it going to happen? When is Marcus Williams or somebody going to bust the coverage and the Bears are going to hit a giant play in overtime and this is going to be over? It never happened. But I look at that and Trubisky just doesn't push the ball down the field. So are you going to miss that component where, yeah, Foles is inconsistent and not very good, but he'll take shots? How much are you going to miss that, you think, this time around against the Saints?
Well, it's tough because it's not that Trubisky doesn't push the ball down the field. It's that he can't because his deep ball accuracy is horrendous. It is horrendous. I mean, his stats are not that awful when you look at them. They would be 10 times better if he had a deep ball arm.
Why? Why is that?
I can't tell you how many times that Anthony Miller or Robinson or this new kid, Darnell Mooney, has been open downfield and somehow he has overthrown this kid that's got a 3.9 40-yard dash by a country mile. You know, it's just, I don't know how he does it. He's got an amazing arm, but he's got the accuracy of a blind man when it comes to deep balls. And the Bears really don't trust him to throw deep. That's why, like, if you look at his passing chart for this Packer game, you know, it was everything inside of 10 yards where he's deadly accurate. But when you get from 10 to 20, it gets shaky. 20 and beyond, it's scary. We did take a deep shot on Green Bay that we converted, a 53-yard pass to Mooney there in the first half, I believe. But outside of that, that was literally the only deep shot we took the whole game.
All right, so I want to switch gears and talk about the defense for a second, Larry. My opinion of the Bears has always been like devastating pass rush, very tough to block. And that if I wasn't educated or if I was just kind of doing this podcast without any research, that's probably the narrative I would go with. But, and yet I look at the numbers and I look at, first of all, the last two times these two teams have played. Last year with Teddy Bridgewater, 4 hits on the quarterback, just 1 sack. This year, 3 hits on Breeze, 1 sack. So, you know, the Saints have done a good job of controlling the Bears' pass rush. But then when I look a little bit deeper, I see the Bears are 17th this year in sacks. And I look at the names and Khalil Mack, okay, 9 sacks, pretty good season for your average guy, but that's a little low for Mack. And Akeem Hicks is only at 3.5. And Robert Quinn isn't doing much. Barkevious Mingo isn't doing much. So I'm just a little surprised to see the sack numbers are kind of down. Is the pass rush for the Bears, like, am I missing something or is it a little off this year?
No, you're not missing anything. We're not very good in the past.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
rushing game, and a lot of people have kind of come to the consensus that it falls on Pagano, Chuck Pagano, our defensive coordinator, because 2 years ago in 2018, when we virtually had about the same roster, we were in tops in the league or near the top with sacks. We were near the top in pressures. I mean, we were constantly down the quarterback's throats. That Monday night game, week two of 2018, we sacked Russell Wilson 5 times in the first half. You know, we had multiple 5 and 6 sack games throughout the season. Khalil Mack missed 2 or 3 games, still had 13 sacks that year and things like that. It's just that when Pagano took over last year, we were still a solid unit. We're a top 5 scoring defense. Even with injuries, we lost Hakeem Hicks for half the season with an elbow injury. We lost Trevathan and Roquan Smith. And, you know, whoever, you know, Pagano put out there, we were producing, but we still weren't getting to the quarterback. It was one of our big Achilles heels last year, and it has carried over into the season. Only now we don't have Eddie Goldman this year, so we're vulnerable against the run, and the pass rush just isn't getting home. And like you said, only 4 quarterback hits, only 3 quarterbacks hit this year. We're actually not really getting to the quarterback either, causing much pressure either. And you know, we feel like it's got to be a scheme issue, because under Fangio, we had no problem whatsoever getting to the quarterback or forcing the issue or getting hurries and hits and things like that.
Football is in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to Bet Online today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
The Saints scored 26. Against you guys, and that was including overtime, so it's 23 in regulation.
Yeah.
To me, that's not enough offensively. If you're the Saints and you're trying to game plan against the Chicago defense, and remember they didn't have Michael Thomas last time, so that helps.
Or Sanders.
Yeah. What?
Or Callaway.
Or Sanders. Right. So they were missing their top 3 receivers, but what's the blueprint? Just I saw the Green Bay scored a bunch on you guys, but what's the blueprint?
Well, number one, you have an advantage. The same advantage that Green Bay has is that you've got a very smart, offensive-minded coach. And the one thing that scares me just before we even talk about the players is that Peyton is a genius. And the things that I've seen him do against us and against everybody else, it's just, you know, he always seems to be able to find a weakness or a vulnerability that he can exploit against his opponents, and that's why you guys have been so successful. Talking about this particular defense, attack the middle of the field, because Danny Trevathan, as good a football player as that guy is, as great a leader as he is, if you throw the ball to anyone that Danny Trevathan is covering him, you will just find Danny Trevathan trailing in coverage. You will see the back of his jersey chasing the guy he's supposed to be covering. He can't do it. And, you know, we're like crossing routes in the behind the linebacker in front of the safety all day. You guys eat all day if you do that. In fact, the touchdown that, in my opinion, won you guys the game just before halftime. If you guys don't score that touchdown before halftime 8 weeks ago, it's a completely different ball game.
And that was
exactly what Peyton did. He ran to the right side on the first one. The receiver dropped it. So he just flipped the formation and ran it back. The guy was still open, and there it was. There was the touchdown that, in my opinion, made the difference in the game.
And, Larry, that to me, that was malpractice, because Cook was the only decent receiver the Saints had on the roster besides Kamara.
Exactly.
And he was still killing you guys.
Wide open on both plays. Wide open on both plays, and that's why, you know, I say attack the middle of the field. Like the touchdown that killed us on Sunday night or Sunday afternoon was, for some reason, Pagano thought it would be a great idea for Trevathan to cover Marquez Valdes-Scantling one-on-one.
With no safety help.
It was an empty formation, zero coverage, and we're blitzing Duke Shelley, our nickel corner on the play as well. And not only that, but we're also going to have Trevathan step into the formation as if he's blitzing and then drop back, covering a guy who runs a 4.38 40. So brilliant idea across the board. 72 yards later, the Packers are celebrating in the end zone. So that's the kind of mind you're up against this weekend.
Well, it's interesting to hear you say that. And Ralph, I'm just looking at the stats from last time these two teams played. Kamara had 9 catches for 96 yards. Jared Cook, 5 catches for 51 and a touchdown. I mean, that's what you do when you're attacking the middle of the field, right? You're using your tight end. You're using your running back in space. And so Sean Payton seems to agree with Larry that at least that was the game plan back when these two teams played earlier in the year. So, you know, Ralph, I'm just curious if Alvin Kamara playing in this game is maybe even more critical than we think.
Well, it's critical. But my thing is, Larry, like, the Saints went into they have that famous clip that Saints fans always reference of Sean Payton yelling at I think he's yelling at Joe Vitt when Dallas Clark is just roasting the Saints in the Super Bowl against the Colts, and he's like, it's a sin to let their best player beat us. That's a sin. And I'm not saying Jared Cook is the Saints' best player, but he was their best receiver besides Kamara in that first matchup. And he was open all the time, Larry. Like, what is Pagano doing? Like, I don't know dick about X's and O's. And I would be like, make sure Jared Cook doesn't catch the ball. Like, it was stunning to me rewatching it.
Yeah, and it's the thing. It's like, I have a basic understanding of X's and O's. I'm nowhere near on the NFL level, but you know, like you said, you know, Sean Payton would agree with me. It's like, A, Sean Payton is smart. B, Sean Payton's got eyes. And he sees that everybody else is attacking the middle of the field and they're eating all day long when they do it. And you would think that with the way that we run the defense, or that the way that Pagano calls it and leaves the middle of the field as wide open as he does, that we don't have Eddie Jackson, that we don't have a fast, you know, steady linebacker in Roquan Smith or anything like that, that we would drop those guys into that portion of the field, or have Eddie Jackson, who's, you know, a ball hawk, or at least he was when Fangio was running the show, trolling that middle, that part of the field. Instead, we got him dropping back deep, and it's just not working out. And that's why I think that even if Nagy and Pace have saved their jobs for the year, Pagano's been digging himself a deeper and deeper hole since the bye week. Because before the bye week, if you listen to my show, you'd be hearing me say things like, the defense gave a victory-worthy performance, our offense let us down. For the last 6 weeks, it's like the offense has been carrying the defense, which is like, it, like in Stranger Things on Netflix, we're in the upside-down world, because that makes no sense, that our offense is carrying that defense with Khalil Mack and Roquan Smith and Eddie Jackson and Robert Quinn and Akeem. I can go on and on and on for the names that are on that side of the ball and all the money that side of the ball is making for the production we're getting out of them. It's got to be the guy that's telling them what to do.
Larry, complete the sentence for me. The Bears win this game if?
If the defense shows up. I mean, if the defense shows up, we have an offense that can actually score some points now. We can run the football and keep the ball out of Drew Brees' hands so he's not distributing it to Kamara and Thomas and Cook and all those other guys that we didn't get to see the first time around. If the defense shows up and performs like they did in the first 10 games of the season, where they were worthy of a top 10 ranking that they had at the time, we have a shot. And if our offense can maintain and do what they've been doing and run the football, because if you look at the stats for the Packers game, we won that game everywhere except on the scoreboard. We won it everywhere. And the two places that Green Bay won on the stat sheet was they were 4-for-4 in red zone opportunities, and they got 2 turnovers to our 1. Everywhere else, we had them beat. We ran 30 more plays than they did. We had 12 more minutes time of possession. Yeah. We had more passing yards, more rushing yards. We beat them everywhere except in those two critical areas. That's where the game was won for Green Bay. And if we can take advantage of our red zone opportunities, that will help us out tremendously as well.
Listen, we stuff this podcast with ads like Jonathan Sullivan used to stuff his face with hot dogs during the pregame for Saints games. If you don't like the ads, sign up and become a patron today. Patrons get access to this podcast ad-free. No ads ever. And they get the Booze Bundle welcome box, 4 swag items, amazing, and a Saints player card, and you get access to the Discord channel. Why wouldn't you do it? It's $10. You're practically making money. So do it today. Go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up to become a patron. That's saintshappyhour.com.
Your run game, Montgomery, has been fantastic.
late in the year. He was a catalyst to the win streak. He got 1,000 yards. You know, he had a big run against the Saints, but otherwise your run game for the Saints, it was kind of stale. He had the big 38-yard run, and it helped set up some things. If he struggles running the ball, and he does, let's say he's 20 carries, 60 yards, or it's not, or you don't get 100 yards running the ball, can you win? Can you manufacture points if you can't run the ball?
The first 10 weeks of the season would say no, because that was the issue for the first, because we had issues, number one, running the football. Because our offensive line wasn't blocking it. It was also a play calling issue, with Nagy constantly running more to the inside instead of, you know, trying to get outside runs or doing more of the zone, blocking that would open up lanes for Montgomery to find. He basically wanted Montgomery to lower his head in 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And then, you know, Nagy wants to throw the ball. He does not want to run it, which is why when all of a sudden Bill Lazor took over the play calling, the offense took a turn. We actually started being productive on offense and everything, which is kind of what worried me, is that I heard someone say that he's been taking more of an active role in play calling lately, which, of course, just makes every Bear fan's butthole pucker right up. Because the first 10 weeks of the season were a disaster, and Nagy was just like, oh, no, it's the scheme. We just need to execute. We just need to execute. It's like, you don't have a bunch of idiots on your football team. They've all been running this offense for 3 years, and they haven't figured it out yet. You might want to change up what you're doing.
That's a bad sign, though. When your head coach, the guy you hired because of his offensive acumen, when you're like, oh no, he's starting to meddle with the offense again. That seems like a bad sign.
It is. It's a terrible sign, which is why he was fired 6 weeks ago. You know, when we were on a 4-game losing streak going to the bye, and we had 114 yards of total offense against the Vikings on Monday night before the bye week. And, you know, we come back the next week or after the bye week against Green Bay. Bill Lazor's calling the plays. Trubisky's back in there because Foles is hurt. We put up 25 points. Montgomery had a 100-yard day. You know, we look better and more cohesive on offense, and we've kind of been rolling since then. It was the defense that let us down against Detroit, and you know, then we had some bad football teams on the schedule that we were able to beat to get ready for that Green Bay game last week. So if Nagy's taking an active role in play calling for the Saints game, then we're in trouble all over again.
Well, yeah, I'm guessing it sounds like they've figured that out, at least for this year, and they won't
knock
be doing
on wood.
That. You know, so Dave's not here, and I know that he's going to be really mad at us if we don't bring this up, because he's such a insufferable homer.
Okay.
But Darnell Mooney and Cairo Santos, you got a couple green beans on your team, a couple green wave players.
Okay.
It looks like Santos has only missed 2 kicks all year. It looks like Mooney's caught 60 passes, which for a 2-lane wide receiver is probably an all-time record.
It's a Bears rookie record, actually.
Wow. Okay. So just curious if you could tell us real quick about those two-lane players, and it seems like they've had good years.
Well, Santos, you know, he's kind of had a career resurgence, because he was actually an all-pro kicker years ago when he was with the Chiefs, but I guess he had like some kind of catastrophic groin injury, basically tore it off the bone, and he's been spending the last few years kind of floating around the league trying to find his stroke again. He's actually, this is his second run with the Bears. He was with us a few years ago when John Fox was the coach, and he re-injured himself and basically never got a chance to kick for us. And this year, he was a camp leg, because Eddie Pinheiro is supposed to be our kicker. But Eddie Pinheiro had an issue with an injury in camp, so Santos was the default kicker and then has been kicking so well. It was like, Eddie Pinheiro? Is that guy's name? It was like, we haven't seen him yet. Like, as far as I know, Eddie Pinheiro is still on the IR, because I never saw an alert said that we cut him or anything. He started the season on the IR. As far as I know, he's still there, because Santos has been lights out for us all season. And then Mooney, I don't know what it is about Ryan Pace. He has very, very, very mixed results with his top picks. But, man, can he find a guy in the fifth round? You know, he found Jordan Howard in the fifth round. He found Bilal Nichols in the fifth round. Travis Gibson's been a good pick for us this year. And he's got Darnell Mooney with our last pick in the fifth round this year. And he has been lights out for us, man. I mean, he played so well. He's basically our number two receiver and has been since about week two of the NFL season. I mean, he's and I wish the kid weighed 198 instead of 178, because to play like he does and to be the smallest guy on the field at the same time it cost him the fourth quarter of the game on Sunday, because he's that one that's going to try to dig out and get every yard he can and lower his shoulder into the guy instead of trying to run around him or skirt out of bounds. And he actually ended up running into somebody who was bigger and stronger and knocked him out of the game on Sunday.
Well, that's a good thing about Deontay Harris for the Saints. He's super tiny, but I notice he's very good at that. He's like, nah, I'm just gonna skedaddle.
Let's see another day.
He's a football player, but football players, they just want to play football. They're gonna lower their head. They're gonna get dirty. They're not afraid of contact. And Mooney's one of those guys. The only problem is he weighs 178 pounds in a league full of guys that don't weigh 178 pounds. So.
You're familiar with the Ted Ginn experience. That's the polar opposite. He constantly does what I like to call business decisions.
Well, he businessed his way right off the Bear roster on Monday Night Football against the LA Rams, when he literally, as our punt returner, did not touch the ball once that whole game. And the whole game, the Bears were starting from the 10-yard line, the 5-yard line, the 7-yard line, when we couldn't play offense. So he just constantly handicapping the team. And the game was on Monday. He was cut by Tuesday. He was gone after that.
Ted Ginn finally, at the age of 75, was unable to run in the NFL. All right, now to the important stuff. Is Javon Wims going to be able to resist the urge to punch Chauncey Gardner in the face?
Stunned he's still on the team. Like, I cannot believe he survived the suspension or any of that. I mean, I was floored when I saw what happened, and even more so when it ended up like what this was all about. And it's like, and especially when he was warned by Mike Furry, our wide receiver coach, 22 likes to stir it up. He likes to talk.
Yes.
He likes to get into your head. You can't let him do it. And what did he do? He let him do it. And to the point where he literally lost his mind right there on the field in front of everybody. Like, he did not make any effort whatsoever to hide it or to, you know, to shield it, whatever, you know, kind of like maybe get some in and maybe get him poking the ribs with an elbow. Nothing. Rips his mouthpiece off. That was the first move. And then literally, which is always a great idea, to use your bare hand to punch a man in the face wearing a fiberglass helmet. Always a great idea. And he goes ahead and he does that. And it's just like, you know.
I like the clapping on the sidelines after the ejection, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Always. Yeah. It just.
It
was just one of those moments. And at a time when the Bears were in need of momentum, he single-handedly murdered it. So,
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, like, it's very difficult to not punch him in the face. I mean, even Saints players on his own team.
Well, yeah, I know Michael Thomas punched him in the face earlier this year. So, I know that this is a guy that likes to stir it up. He likes to live rent-free in somebody's head. And you know, the Bears were aware of this. Like, this guy got punched in the face by his own teammate earlier this year. So a guy that's supposed to love him and care about him, you know, just threw caution to the wind, decided to haul off and punch him in the face. You might not want to get mixed up with this dude, because he'll get you in a place you don't want to be. And Javon Wims walked right into it.
Brutal.
Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Weed Whacker. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Its intelligently contoured design enhances the trimming experience and is waterproof, which which makes for easy operation and cleaning. The only nose hair trimmer on the market with a powerful and rechargeable lithium-ion battery that lasts up to 90 minutes of use. Have you ever pulled your nose hair out with your fingers? That might hurt worse than nicking your balls. Manscaped is making whacking your weeds a time to look forward to delivering maximum confidence while providing hygiene. Yes, you will get a replacement blade every 3 months to keep your weed whacking time clean and enjoyable. Look, fellas, 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turn off. It's time to upgrade your Manscaped routine with the Weed Whacker. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code armchair. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds.
So
it was brutal.
You know, Larry, I always like to, when we have people on this podcast, guests from other they cover other teams, and it's a big game for the Saints. You know, because you know the Bears better than we know the Bears, and we kind of know the Saints better than you. And I feel like Saints fans, we can watch a Saints game, and we can see little subtle things early in the game where we're like, oh, shit. And it might not even be like an obvious big play or a turnover. We can see little subtle things. We're like, oh shit, this is not good for the Saints. So what are some signs that you'll be looking for in the first quarter and a half that are sort of subtle things that the Bears will either be doing well and you'll be getting excited, or you'll be like, oh, fuck, we're in trouble.
Well, I will be getting worried about where we're at, and I will get worried about who's actually calling the plays, because that's come into question this week. If all of a sudden we look confused and we're calling random timeouts because we don't have the right guys on the field all of a sudden, you know. And then the really fun part, guys, is that when we call that timeout, the next play is usually a clusterfuck. I mean, it's just – it is remarkable that we took a timeout. We took it specifically to get our ducks in a row, and apparently we just pushed the ducks off the edge because it's just chaos out there. Somebody goes the wrong way. We still don't have a guy where he needs to be. We're shifting guys right up to the last second. That's when we'll know if it's Nagy that's calling the plays, because the offensive guys have no idea what to do. And then as far as positive goes, I guess it would be more like you just kind of get a sense of the guys and how they're feeling, especially on the defensive side. They'll be a little bit more animated and talking to each other and things like that. That's when you know the defense is kind of feeling it. Haven't seen it a lot in the last 6 weeks, but earlier in the year, you saw a lot of it.
Well, I got to be honest, just reading the temperature of your I guess your voice, I can't say body language, but just your voice language, just hearing you speak about this game and just gauging the temperature, I got to say, like, I mean, first of all, I'm shitting my pants about the playoffs, because how could you not, as a Saints fan, right? How the last 3 years have gone. We've had three straight walk-off losses in the playoffs. So, you know, obviously we could be playing. I mean, Ralph made the joke earlier this week that we could be playing McDonough 35, who's a New Orleans high school team, and we'd be nervous just because of how things have gone. But I have to say, I wasn't expecting you to come on here and shit on your team and say, we're the worst, you're going to win by 50, because it's, you know, single elimination, it's the playoffs, anything can happen. But I feel like, just hearing you speak, I actually feel even a little bit more nervous about this game. Like, the Bears feel like they can come in and win this.
Well, I mean, it's a mixed bag, honestly, because I feel better about where we are offensively, so that, you know, we can actually try to make something out of this. I mean, because the blueprint for a team like the Saints is the exact blueprint we ran against Green Bay on Sunday. The opening drive, 7.5 minutes, we put it in the end zone for a touchdown. The last and only touchdown we scored in that game. Every other opportunity after that, we're settling for field goals. And that's a recipe for disaster when you're playing an Aaron Rodgers or a Drew Brees, who has the ability and the horses to hurt you on virtually any play. And that's why I'm saying we have a shot if the defense can contain the offense. Not stop it, but contain it, because there's no stopping you guys. You got to slow them down. You got to contain them. You got to slow the bleeding, if you will. So and that's why it's kind of a, you know, like a 55, 60%. Like, confidence level going into this thing, because I think that the offense can score enough points if we can slow you down. But lately, we haven't been slowing anybody down.
You know,
we had one big day against Deshaun Watson and the Texans 4 weeks ago. Outside of that, it's been a mess since the bye week.
You know, Larry, I tweeted out, because, you know, the Saints, we wanted the Bears to win because we wanted the outside shot at the Saints getting a bye. I tweeted at Nagy that he's a coward. And my thing is with the Bears, I look at Nagy, I don't think he's that good of a coach. But also, his temperament to me, he's not aggressive enough. And as I'm listening to you, he sort of coaches the game like his defense is good. When really, against the Saints, like if he has 4th and 2 from the 15, like he needs to be going for that. Or 4th and 1 at the 8. Like he needs to be going for that and not kicking field goals. And do you think there's any chance that he changes his conservative coward mindset in this game and is like, hey, we're playing the Saints, we're on the road, we got to score touchdowns, field goals ain't going to get it done, and he's a little bit more aggressive than he otherwise might be?
Well, the funny thing is that he talks about both sides of his mouth when it comes to things like that. Like what you just said, we need to go for touchdowns and not settle for field goals. He said that all week leading up to the Green Bay game. And then we play Green Bay, and what are we doing? Settling for goddamn field goals instead of going for touchdowns. You know, we're 4th and goal from the 2-yard line. We're kicking a 20-yard field goal instead of taking a shot at putting Aaron Rodgers at the 2-yard line with his back to the goal line. I mean,
it sounds like he has PTSD. Like he's like, I got to get points when I can get them.
Yeah. And it works if your defense is playing well,
right,
and they're not. So you have to take these shots where you can get them. You have to take these shots when you have them. And, you know, the best example of this would be last year when we played the Chargers. You know, we lost it. We had a lead, we lost it, but we're in a position to kick the game winning field goal. And on 2nd down, instead of running the ball or, you know, knocking some to get the kicker closer, things like that, Nagy's kneeling on the ball. And of course, Eddie Pinheiro would have liked A, for the ball to be on the other hash, and B, obviously he would have, you know, used a few extra yards. Instead, we basically sat where we were, and Pinheiro actually missed the field goal. kicking, if he would have been on the left side, it would have been straight down the middle, but he was on the right, so he hooked it to the right. It didn't work out. And afterwards, when they asked Nagy, what the hell, man, you kicked the field goal on 3rd down, you had timeouts, and, you know, you were having some success moving the football. Why didn't you go for it? He's like, well, what if we fumbled? And, you know, God forbid we pass. What if Mitch gets sacked and then we're even out of field goal range? It's like, how about you not be a pussy and trust your offense and see what happens rather than just calling for disaster before anything happens?
You know? It's interesting to hear you say that and hear you say that Sean Payton's a genius, because hearing you explain that scenario, that's something that would almost – and we're spoiled, right, because he's been the coach for, 16 years or out more, 17 years. But we're just so used to – like that would never happen because he's so detail-oriented. Well, and he would be like, it needs to be on this hash. There needs to be this much time left. I need to call it.
That's why against you guys –
at this point.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Against the Bears, he didn't run the clock down to make sure that either Lutz makes the field goal and the Saints win, or he misses it and it's a tie. If Lutz would have missed it, the Bears would have had the ball and had one more chance to win. And after the game, the media was like, Sean, what the hell? You're usually great at this stuff. And he's like, yeah, we need to look at like running the clock down. It was stunning that he was so bad at it. But it's really interesting that you bring up Nagy. So, Larry, we got to get out of here. Thanks for giving us so much time. Give us prediction guys. For the game on Sunday.
Okay. Best case, I think the Bears can win like, 24, 21, something like that. Reality-based, we're probably looking like 34 to 20 Saints.
All right. Thank you so much, Larry. You gave us even more time when they ask. Tell Saints fans how they can find you the rest of the week when they need their Bears information and fix as we get ready for Saints Bears. Tell them how they can find you.
Sure. It's the name of the show is Bears Talk Underground. You can find me on iTunes, Spotify, you name it. And I'm on the social medias, BTU_Larry.
All right. Thanks, Larry, for joining us. Guys, thanks for joining us. Become a patron so you can get this podcast every day. It's been great. We will see you again tomorrow.